Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is Bonnie Kay, and welcome to the Straight Wives Talk Show. This is a hard-hitting show that discusses the complexity of marriages between straight women to gay men. Each week, my guests and I discuss issues that affect over 4 million women in this country and millions more around the world who find themselves unknowingly married to a gay or bisexual man. If you have any comments you'd like to make during this broadcast, please feel free to email me at bonkay@aol.com. That's B-O-N-K-A-Y-E @aol.com. This has been an extremely hot summer, boy, oh boy, on the East Coast. And I feel so bad for other people who are in also horribly hot weather. But we're just trying to make our way through it. Before we know it, another month or so, and summer's going to be over. So hopefully we'll get some good weather in between, but in this hot, oppressive heat and with the whole pandemic going on, you know, I know it's very hard for a lot of people getting through this situation, having to spend more time at home than you would want to under normal circumstances. And this is really when you're in a destructive relationship, the worst time of year to be in one, when you can't go out, and even if you go out, you're miserable and there's no place to go in many of our states that are still on partial or lockdown. So, ladies, if you're living through this struggle, feel free to write to me at bonkay@aol.com. If you need support or if you have to have a conversation with me, I'm happy to do it. You know, just to let you know you have support and set you up with women in our network who can give you support. That's what we're all here for, to see that you get through this. I want to send a special note of love and encouragement to a dear friend of mine out in Chicago. You'll know who this is when you hear this message to you, that I'm very proud of you after all these years, that you're taking action that you need to take. And as I told you, you know, when we met a few years ago, another 5 or 6 years have gone by of unhappiness, and it's time now to just say, I need to take back my life. And that's a message I give to all of our women who are stuck in these horrible marriages that are abusive on many different levels, and you just have to take your life back. You have to put yourself first, put your needs first for a change, put your happiness first, because otherwise, as I say to you, every day you stay in a marriage to a gay man is a day that you lose and can never get back. I just want to announce that, you know, I'm working on our book, Straight Wives, Shattered Lives 3. It's a really dynamite volume with some wonderful stories from women from not only this country, but other countries around the world. And it's amazing how no matter where we are, how the similarities are all the same. Even though we were married to different men, they all seem like the same man. Because when you were married to a gay man, it's never the same as being married to a straight man. I mean, there can be never the kind of relationship that you're really looking for with intimacy and making connections. So if you're in the situation, you want to contribute to the book, I have room for 3 more stories. And that's it. But I'd be more than happy to work with you on them. I can do all your editing. And they can be anonymous. You don't ever have to use your real name. And, you know, just let me know at bonk@aol.com. So without further ado, I want to welcome back a very special guest of mine, Megan. Thank you so much for returning to the show.
Hi, Bonnie. Thanks for having me back. Yeah, it's hard.
Oh, it's my
there.
Pleasure. I know that people are just, you know, really intrigued by the couple shows that you did with me, and you're so generous with your observations, with your story. But in as much as we do have new women listening to every show, trust me, because I get the stats, and not only from this country, but from Europe, from South America, from Russia. I mean, it's amazing how many people are listening about to the show around the world, Australia. Can you just tell them a little bit about your situation and your story?
Sure, I'm happy to do that. Well, it's been about close to 3 years now where I actually was fortunate enough to figure out what was going on with my husband. I was married for 20 years with a family and children. And he never would have admitted to me that he was gay. And it took some time with third parties involved to actually have him come out and admit that. And it's been a struggle, but I really ended things pretty quickly. You know, I basically kicked him out of the house and, you know, had to deal with getting my son through high school and into college, and I had an older son, and it was actually a relief to some extent to finally know what the problems were after 20 years of marriage and why he was so disconnected to our family and why he was so angry and why he hated me so much. He hated himself. And, you know, the bottom line is I decided to pretty much, you know, settle quickly. I didn't want to go through extensive legal fees, and I thought it was the healthiest thing for, obviously, for my children and for myself to try to just be cut all ties and to move. I mean, we really cut ties. I moved far away. You know, my son was in college far away also, and our family is trying to move on. I mean, this pandemic has added to things, but it's been a challenge, and it's been a journey. And there's ups and downs, so there's good days and there's bad days, but I think that, you know, it's life, and I'm just somewhat relieved that I was one of the fortunate people to find out the truth, and I would have never really have found out the truth because he was too much of a coward to admit it to me.
Well, Megan, let's talk a little bit about a few things in your marriage. So what year were you married?
Well, that's a good question. So I was married for 20 years. I've been divorced now for 2 years. So I was married in, 20 years. So 1998, around there.
Okay. So when you met your husband, how long did you know him before you got married?
I had been married before. For 5 years, and I was divorced, and I was divorced for over 4 years before I met my husband. So I actually was in I knew him for about a year, and we were engaged for about, 10 months. So I knew him for about 2 years before we actually got married.
And when you were going with him, how was that relationship? Were there any red flags that you missed in the retrospect?
I still think about that all the time. I was very gun shy. I was not in any rush to get remarried. I was married prior. I had a child. I was not really looking for a relationship, but he came across as a nice, kind of simple, milquetoast, I use that expression, guy. And, I knew of the family, so I somewhat had some credibility there. And he had been married before, and he had a child. And that was, for me, that was kind of important, because I figured if he had been married before and had a child, he knew what it was like, because I had a child. So I trusted him.
Uh-huh.
And there were no, honestly, there were no signs. And as I said, once again, the fact that he had a prior relationship with a woman, he was married before, he had a child, I really did not predict. I didn't assume that there was anything wrong. I was very happily married, I'd say, for probably the first 10 to 15 years of our marriage. I didn't see any red flags at all.
Okay, so when you were married, how old were you when you got married to this time?
The second time I was 32.
Okay, and how old was he?
Around there, 32. He was 4 years older than me. 4 years older.
Uh-huh. All right. And so there would have been, how was your relationship as far as affection, intimacy in the beginning when you were going together?
In the beginning, there was a big attraction. I remember little things, like I'd hear his voice. He was a lawyer and a politician, and he had kind of an interesting voice. And I liked the sound of his voice, and I'd listen to his messages and say, oh, he's got a nice voice. He sounds genuine. He sounds like a real person. We met playing tennis, which was kind of like an innocent thing, the sport that I enjoyed, that we both enjoyed. It was just a very, it's not like we met in a bar, and we met under very healthy circumstances, and things were normal.
So, you had been married before, so you knew what sex was like. And so there didn't seem anything unusual when you were having physical relationships with him, or was anything off a little bit, would you say?
I have to be honest, I think about this on occasion, and I did not think there was anything off. I really didn't. And that's the part that still to this day kind of confuses me a little bit. It was actually... it was better than normal. I think it was as the years went on and the disconnect started, but that was only over like the last maybe 5 years. I'd say the last 5 years of our marriage where things were just totally, there was a disconnect. And
so,
I'm glad
you bring this up, because a lot of women are very confused, because some women have a situation where their husbands are in their 30s or even early 40, mid-40s, and they still have sex with them. Not necessarily that they have to go begging for it. Some men want to have sex. And that was your case, right?
Right. Right. I mean, we were married for 20 years, so when he decided that he was gay or whatever, was with men, he was in his late 50s.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know
so
what happened before then, but he was a little late in coming out.
Well, that's possible, but chances are that it wasn't his first time when he's in his 50s.
Right.
Because like you said, things did change in the later years, right?
Right, exactly.
And so when they were changing, like I say, I'm sure that had something to do with his experiences outside, the marriage and experimenting or checking it out or whatever the case was. But the fact remains that we do have some men who can still have sexual relationships with their wives And that's why some women just really find this very confusing. Because mm-hmm. not only when they got married did they have sexual relationships, they still continued to have it. And nothing was notably wrong. And then all of a sudden things just drop and fall off. But, you know,
right.
you got a good run for a while, right?
Yeah, I have to say, it is a very confusing part of the equation. I do wonder about it because it's an enigma. It's very puzzling, and I understand how those women feel because I felt the same way. I still think about like when did this all happen, you know, and how did it happen and why did it happen?
Mm-hmm. I think that's part of the problem, you know, with women who have gay husbands who don't have any proof. You know, because
mm-hmm.
they don't even know how to find the proof, or they don't want to, you know, look for the proof because they don't want to believe the proof. But
right.
the fact remains that gay is different for every man. And I tell this to women because some women, you know, like, you know, they talk about a Kinsey scale, which I don't believe in the Kinsey scale at all. You know, I say
mm-hmm.
you are or you're not. You know, it's a one
mm-hmm.
or a two. You're straight or you're unstraight. Call yourself whatever else you want. But within the gay realm, there are those men who can perform heterosexual sex with a woman and maintain it for a number of years, even, you know, for 10, 15 years. And
mm-hmm.
that doesn't mean that they are not fantasizing, watching gay porno to do it, looking at magazines, you know, but they can
right.
perform sex with their wives. And so why would we think there's something, you know, to have to worry about? You know, it is very tricky, and that's why I say I wish with gay people, they were all born where they knew they were gay from the time they were born, and they want to lead a gay life, and they're perfectly, should be equal in every way in that sense, and then go marry somebody who's of the same sexual, you know, sexual
right.
orientation,
yeah.
which is perfectly fine. I'm all for the gay rights. I'm all for gay marriage. I'm so happy when I see two men getting married to two men instead of a man and a woman when one is gay. But it's
right.
a shame because I think so many of these men are so confused themselves because the
right.
fact that they can still have sex with a woman, and I don't think they necessarily want to be gay, and they've lived their
mm-hmm.
whole life as a straight man, even if they were having gay thoughts or even if they were having, you know, attractions to men. I think that, you know, they were just hoping against hope that those attractions were going to pass and that,
right.
you know, they weren't going to have these feelings anymore. But they
right.
just keep intensifying.
Yep.
The longer it takes, you know, the more years that go by, it just takes longer, you know, it just takes longer to happen. But I'm telling you, I know they could make that choice to stay to be straight. They would do it. They just can't help it. And there's no time
right.
period.
Right.
Some men can never do it. Some men are totally gay 100% from the time they're born. They know they
yeah.
can't marry a woman because they know they can't perform with a woman. But for those men who are able to get an erection, have sexual relationships with a woman, it has to be so damn confusing, especially when they're hoping
yeah.
against hope that they're not gay, but they're still having those attractions and those desires. And so, you know, it's no easy fix on any of these situations, right?
Yeah. Why do you think, Bonnie, that, like, you know, I don't know if this is, I mean, if he was the exception, but... You know, he was married, as I said, he was married before. He married a woman that he had gone to college and law school with. They had a child
mm-hmm.
together. Their marriage fell apart. They, you know, he got remarried to me. We had a child together. You know, how, you know, if you get to the point in your life, why did he let this drag on so long? Or why couldn't he figure it out? We lived, you know, in a somewhat conservative, you know, suburb. Where, you know, people were obviously this, you know, and in that time period, now it's much more readily accepted that people are gay and there's gay
uh-huh.
marriage. But, you know, it took him two wives, it took him two kids, it took him two families to figure this
uh-huh.
out. And that's the part I struggle with more. I struggle with that more than the sexuality part of it, because
uh-huh.
I look at it more like from that, like that fundamental, like, How could you get married twice, have two kids, have two, you know, wives that, you know, adored you and do this and move on at their expense what triggers that, you know? And I know that a lot of it has to do with, like, the death of his father, who was a very, you know, Italian Catholic, you know,
a lot of it
never
has to do with cultural,
that.
You know, the way you're brought up.
Cultural.
You know, certain cultures,
right.
Especially back in the 90s, 80s, 70s, you know, it was still mm-hmm. that when you came from a staunch Italian family, staunch Catholic family, this was not an acceptable thing. You were expected to be
mm-hmm.
married. You were expected to have children. You were expected to live happily ever after. You were not expected to go with another man. Homosexuality was never part of the Italian equation. Back in those days, people didn't deal with it, you know, at all. It was like a condemned thing. And, you know, parental
right.
approval has such a strong influence, I think, on all of us. We all want our parents
mm-hmm.
to love us. We all want our parents to be happy, you know, even if it's at our expense. And that's why I say a lot of these men, they wait till a parent dies. I see it happen all the time. A lot of these gay men wait until their father or their mother passes on, and that's when
mm-hmm.
they have their coming
mm-hmm.
out. Because now they are free.
Right.
Now they don't have to please the family because it's so ingrained in the culture. And I do want to mention to women that there are a number of gay men that I personally know who have had more than one marriage. They have married twice
mm-hmm.
or even three times to women. Because, first of all, some of these men don't accept that they're gay. They don't equate,
right.
they don't put together sexual need and identity. They feel they're straight
mm-hmm.
by identity. They just have a sexual need for men. And they don't equate that as gay. They equate gay with what they see as the stereotypical gay, a guy who's wearing flashy clothes or marching in a gay parade with feathers, you know. And they really
right.
have a strong self-hatred because of this. You know, they make fun of those men, but they look at them and they say, that's not me. I'm not that kind of man. I'm a man's man. I just want to have some sex. You know, that's different once in a while. Curiosity. And in their minds,
mm-hmm.
that's how they put it. They do not want to be gay. And even if
right.
they did, they wouldn't even think about doing it because of the pressures that they're personally under. Until it gets to the point where they just can't do it anymore. And usually
mm-hmm.
that comes
mm-hmm.
when they really start looking, feeling an attraction or else they're involved with somebody already. I know so many
right.
of these guys who are having relationships outside their marriages for long periods of time. Even the guest
right.
I had on the show a few weeks ago, you know, George, who was talking about his life when he was married, and he had mentioned that he'd been seeing this guy for over 2 years, 3 years, and that he mingled them in with his family. The two families were doing stuff all the time. You know, they'll go to any extremes. They'll bring these guys into your house. They'll be having sex in your bed when you're not home. And in their own
mm-hmm.
minds, they're able to compartmentalize this so well to
right.
make it into two totally separate lives, and they don't mix and
right.
match them. And that's how they are. You know, and we are
right.
the ones, like I say, can never understand how this is happening, but it is. And
right.
it's such a hard pill to swallow, isn't it?
Right. Right. Well, I think you brought, when you said compartmentalize, that's the key. And you know,
mm-hmm.
I don't think I'm very good at that. Maybe because I'm female, maybe it's just not my strength of mine. But I so agree with what you're saying. I mean, my ex was involved in a relationship for 2.5 years before I figured it out in a sexting thing on his phone. That's a long time. And, you know, now it's, what, 2 years later. I mean, I assume they're still involved. I have no contact. But it's a long time to hide something from your family. And, you know, and I keep bringing up that you have to come home and sit across the dinner table from your wife and your kids. It's like they don't see it. And he admitted it. He admitted to me. He said, I was doing this, and I knew what I was doing was betraying you and betraying our family, but I just put it in another compartment, and it was wrong, but I don't really care, and I would do it, and I would do it again. I would have done exactly what I did.
But he said to you it was wrong, right?
You know, I don't even know if he used that expression, because that's like even giving him a little bit. He said it. I shouldn't have been doing it. I knew it was
mm-hmm.
wrong, but I didn't care. But I didn't care. That was it, right? I knew it was wrong,
right.
but I really didn't care that it was wrong. And I would do it over again if I could. I did it, and I don't care what I did. And I'm almost, and he's happy that it was out, that, you know, he's that it finally came to, you know, fruition that, like, he's got this relationship, and he's glad that, you know, that I figured it out for him. And that's the part that's, and for me, it's not about the sex life as much. It's not about, you know, it's more like how, it's, for me, it's more about the remorse and the fact that they're almost proud of the fact that they were able to come out at this stage in life and be who they are at the expense of their family. That's the part that is hard to swallow sometimes.
Well, like I said, there's no easy answers. These are just complex situations, and they're very hard to get past because it's accumulation of all kinds of, you know, feelings of betrayal, stupidity, why didn't I see this, how could I miss it, what would be hiding from me, but all the insecurities you as a woman have to go through while it's all going on, wondering, why is he behaving like this? You know, why has our marriage changed? What am I doing wrong? Because in most cases, they'll be very happy to throw in your face, you're the one doing stuff wrong. Did that ever happen to you?
No, it's all the time, every day. Everything was wrong, and everything was my fault.
Mm-hmm.
Everything was, you know, and it was just switch, you know, I guess it was Canton, gaslighting. It was, everything was, he twisted it and manipulated it so that it was my fault, whether it was regard to raising the kids or cooking the dinner or, you know, finances. Everything was like, how did you let this happen? Why did you do this? And it was like, everything was like, just, you know, ignited, and it was all the same kind of an argument. Everything was a fight, and everything was a struggle. And
I'm just,
you know,
curious,
everything
did you know his other wife?
Yes. Mhm.
Did you ever have this discussion with her after the marriage?
It's interesting you say that. It's funny because the last 2 years of the marriage, she had gotten actually remarried and divorced, so she was kind of on her own. And, you know, we welcomed her into our house for, you know, Thanksgiving or what, a couple of holidays. And it's kind of strange. People would say, why do you have this ex-wife in your house? And now looking back on it, you know, it was a good buffer for him because, you know, he knew that he was out with his boyfriend most of the time. And I was kind of confused. And, you know, it was a strange thing to have the ex-wife, but I figured it was good for his daughter. And, you know, my kids got along. So it was kind of an interesting scenario that we had created for ourselves, just to kind of, we called ourselves the modern family to some extent. And after I found out and after the shit hit the fan, I had a conversation with her about it. And it's interesting because we had one conversation, and not to get into too many details, but I don't think she was that surprised. I think she was less surprised than I was. And I decided to actually cut all ties with her, as I cut all ties with everyone, because it was much healthier for me, because I do feel very strongly that the family had covered up for him for years. And I think I don't want to make assumptions, but I don't trust that any of them did not know this was going on for a long time. And I think there was a big cover up. And because I could just tell from the way that they were handling it.
She was confused also. You know, if you were confused, if she was married to him long before you, before anybody knew about this stuff. And she may have also been very confused. Maybe she thought, well, even if he was that way, he married you, so maybe he tried it and didn't like it. I think that so many of us just didn't know enough about homosexuality. And even today, women do not understand this phenomenon, especially when men are so much more open today and, you know, willing to get married, have relationships, you know, fighting for gay rights. So in our minds, even more so now, it doesn't even make sense that a gay man would still want to marry a woman. You know, now is the time to understand least of all, because now they have, you know, what they need to be successful in gay relationships. But that's the whole point. If you don't understand this whole gay thing, that gay men themselves don't even understand it, or gay men are trying to run away from it, because even though it's more accepted today, and even though there's gay marriage, and even though you can live as a couple and not be discriminated against by law, there are those people who just don't want to be gay, and especially men who come from strong cultural backgrounds. Because I work with men who are Muslims from other countries. I work with men who come from strict fundamental Christian homes where the behavior is expected to be straight whether you're gay or you're not. And unfortunately, for many of these men, if they leave their wives or they tell them that they're gay, you know, it's just not a matter of affecting them. It affects their whole families. Like, people won't want to marry their families, or, you know, want to remarry their wives. You know, it's so many complicated things about this. So, you know, but those people really have no choice. But even today in this country where there is a choice, you know, look, if you could choose to be straight, why wouldn't you want to choose to be straight? No matter how proud you can feel about being gay, it's still not accepted by a lot of people. You know, people still make fun of gay people, or they still talk bad about gay people. So in your head, if you really think you're straight, you know, you want to go for it. You know, it's always going to happen. There will be those men running away, not accepting it. Or like in your case of your husband, where he was able to maintain himself as a straight man for all those years through two marriages, you know, and still perform sex with you for a number of those years, you know, in their hearts they're really hoping that they are not gay. They don't understand why they're having those attractions. And they really believe that if they try not hard enough to have them, they're going to go away, but they just get worse as time goes on. You know, they don't go away. Those feelings, they just get more intense and stronger. And it's a shame that, you know, you can't say by the age of 25, every gay man will know he's gay. So then if you take the choice to be straight, you're not gay. It doesn't work that way, does it?
Right. No, I agree. You know, I mean, you know, when kids come out and they're in their 20s and they're gay and they're openly gay, and you know, it's like fine, it's good for you. At least you know who you are, and you're not going to get married and destroy a family. I mean, I've met a lot of gay people. I know a lot of gay people, and it doesn't bother me. It's like you said. It's like, you know, you figure it out and own up to it. You know, and do the right thing. That's my main thing. It's like, you know, if you're going to be married for 20 years and you're going to have a family, then, you know, in a no-fault state, then at least do the right thing financially. Try to do the right thing emotionally. You know, try to have some feelings of, remorse for what you've done. And it's, like you said, the betrayal. And it's the fact that, you know, like, and I think people do, I continue to say this, I think a lot of society feel sorry for these people. You know, they feel sorry. I know it's a fact. As I said, I've moved across the country, and I know I've lost a lot of friends because they feel sorry for him. He's the victim. The poor guy, you know, he had to struggle with his sexuality, and they have drinking the Kool-Aid. They are feeling his pain, and they have no idea, you know, what the other side. They have no idea what he's put me through emotionally or financially, or what he's done to our family. And that's the part I don't understand. As I said, I don't care. You could be gay, you could do it, but do the right thing. And,
well,
you
that's
know,
the other issue. And unfortunately, the problem is, you know, in our new book that we have that you're contributing to, as far as Straight Lives, Shattered Wives 3, you know, it's been 10 years since the last edition came out. So why am I doing another one now? What is different now than before? So I write in my introduction to this book, you know, I have a number of pages, I write about the introduction of what is different. And I'm going to tell you the main difference that I see from now, from 10, 15, 20, 30 years ago. Because I've been doing this now since 1982, so almost 40 years. It's a long time. And I've seen so many different changes over the years. You know, because back in those days when I started this because of my gay ex-husband, you know, things were totally different. You know, we hadn't even really hit AIDS yet. You know, it was still, you know, not that acceptable to be gay back in the 80s because of, you know, the culture. But by the later 80s and early 90s, that's when AIDS was running rampant. People were dying by the thousands for being gay, and that's when there was gay hysteria. People were so afraid to be around gay people. And that's when a lot of men who were gay stayed in their closets, stayed in their marriages, because they saw the gay hysteria going on about it. So I've gone through all these transitions and changes, and now in the last few years come the biggest changes. That's the biggest kick in the ass for straight wives. And that's the one where gay men are being celebrated and women are being pushed even further into their closets. And that's what the big difference is. Where before we used to get some sympathy, even if though people questioned us, they used to say, how could you not know he was gay? He had sex with you. He wasn't gay when he married you. Okay, so we fight ignorance, but at least people still felt sorry for us. Now, they don't feel sorry for us at all. They only are applauding the gay man who has the courage to come out 30 years after destroying us, you know, and ruining our lives without even mentioning that there's a wife in the picture. Or when the men have the nerve and the audacity to say, those were the best 30 years of my life, the years I was married. I had a wonderful marriage. Yeah, in your mind, I mean, you're totally neglecting your wife, mentally abusing her, sexually withdrawing from her, expecting her to do everything for you, and she did because she loved you. Yeah, they were the best years of your life, but nobody's talking about the worst years of her life, and people don't acknowledge us, and I don't get it. You know, the longer I'm in this, the more I see of this, which is why I guess I never retired, because I'm too angry. You know, because I don't see any equality. When you're looking for equality in relationships, this is not equality. This is neglect of us and our feelings and promotion of a guy who did something wrong, who's trying to right it and making him into a hero. No, like, I don't get
it. You said it
perfectly. To be honest with
you. You said it so perfectly well, and it's so true. They're the hero. They're the victim. You know, I mean, I was married to a politician and a judge. It doesn't get any better. And a lawyer. And, you know, people, like, it almost, it's like an admiration for him. Wow, look at that. And it's, you know, all over the news. You see people, a lot of, you know, politicians obviously come out and because they're living, like, two lives and they're, you know, politically engaged and they can pretend to be something they're not. And people admire that. That's the thing I don't understand. It's like you said, like they're the hero. They admire that and they have no idea what's going on behind the scenes with their wife and their kids and their family. And again, the law legally, you know, there's no, with the no fault thing financially, they hide.
Right. And that's the worst thing in the world.
The worst.
I mean, I wish I could fight it. I wish I had the energy, the resources, the strength, but people don't stand behind it. And I say there is fault in these divorces. And, you know, I am so sick of any man who ever says to me, because I never let him finish the sentence, it takes two to make a marriage. She had problems too. Yeah, she did have problems. And you know why she had problems? She had problems because you couldn't be the kind of husband that you were supposed to be. Because she felt sexually neglected and rejected. Because emotionally you keep knocking her down because you can't take responsibility for being the one who's wrong. So you keep making her, you keep gaslighting her, what they call gaslighting, making her think she's crazy, she's the one at fault, she's doing things wrong, you're doing everything right, you're happy in the marriage, why isn't she? You want to go for help? You go for help. There's nothing wrong with me.
Right.
So you do this to emotionally abuse your wife, and then you think that, you know, she's at fault? No, she's not at fault. She's just victimized. You know, they don't get it. And then on top of it, like I'm sure in your husband's case, you know, they said, well, you know, I did everything I had to do. I paid for everything. You know, I was the main support there. I worked my ass off to keep my family with, you know, what they needed, food, a house over their head. I paid my dues. He's paid your dues. You sat and tortured somebody for all these years. That's called paying your dues. They think because they threw money your way for support, you know, so you'd have food or whatever the case is, that they've done their job. They just don't get it. And you know why they don't get it? Because they're gay men. And gay men don't think straight. It's nothing against them. They're just not straight men, so they don't get it. They don't think the way we think.
And it's also like, you know, As I mentioned, he was a politician, and you know, just to have the the audacity, the obviously the narcissistic tendencies to come home one day and just say, okay, I'm going to run for county court judge, and to put his family, you know, to financially put the burden on us, and then also the emotional stress. And, you know, to put us out there, it's like, put yourself out there. If you want to take a risk in life, go do it. But don't put your entire family at risk because of something that you want to do for your own benefit, you know, for your own. And that's the part, too. It's like, it's always about them. It's always about what their needs were. And you know, gay or narcissist, I mean, it was never about the family as a whole and what was important for all of, you know, for our family. And, you know, and the emotional, like you mentioned, the emotional abuse is so hard to, you know, you can't prove that in a courtroom. You can't prove that. And it's not going to put money in your pocket. But it's so true. It's like, you know, every day it's like you're getting reprimanded for something and cut down. And you don't know why. And you can't, and there's no explanation, you know.
Well, see, here's the other thing that bothers me, though, Megan. You know, getting back to the no-fault divorce, because there is a fault here. If your husband hadn't been gay, it would have been a totally different marriage, and it could have been a happily ever after. It's not that in a no-fault divorce that neither one shares the responsibility of fault. Just calling it no-fault when there is fault is really negating everything that we're about. It's like minimizing our suffering, not acknowledging it. How could it be no fault when you marry a gay man and you don't know he's gay and he misleads you for years, so he's cheating on you, brings you home STDs, whatever the case is, and now it's time because he wants to go find himself and he's now happy to be gay. Is that a no fault divorce? I mean, that's a misnomer.
Well,
they're calling it the wrong name, right?
It's a total misnomer, and as I said, I was married to, he was a divorce attorney and a judge, so I fought in the courtroom. I mean, I went to court. I hired lawyers. I, you know, didn't go too far into it because I wasn't going to get anything out of it with the situation with the no fault, but it was like they would wink at each, the judges would wink at each other, the fact that he was a lawyer and a judge. I couldn't, you know, they thought, they actually almost mimicked me and ridiculed me by saying, gay, what does that mean? So he's gay. He could have sex. They literally said he could have sex with a monkey and it wouldn't put money in your pocket. That's how bad it was.
Okay, and so let's say it's not a money thing. I still want the acknowledgement that it's their fault that the marriage broke up. I mean, it would just validate at least who we are a little better.
Right.
And that we're
right.
not responsible for
to...
all the crap that they accused us of.
Right.
They're, I mean,
yeah.
Okay, maybe we won't get any more money, but at least acknowledge that there's fault, that we weren't the fault.
Well,
no
yeah.
fault means that both
yeah.
parties are not at fault. That is not the case. I'm sorry.
Right? I agree with you. And I couldn't agree with you more. And the interesting part is that I don't know. I'm curious. I would love to know women who are married to gay men. How many of the women actually serve papers and how many of the men? Because I personally was the one to serve papers. I'm the one that filed for divorce. And
me too. I would never get one otherwise. Hello? I'm sorry, are you there? Let me check for a second, see if I lost Megan. Hold on.
Here.
Okay, good.
Can you hear me?
Yeah,
I
served the papers in my family.
Yeah, I did too. And I'm wondering how many of these gay men would actually have the courage, I would say, to say, listen, I'm filing for divorce. I'm curious, you know, whether it's the woman or the man in this case. Because if they're real men and they were real, you know, they'd say, listen, I can't be married to you anymore. I'm gay and I'm going to have to file for divorce. But I don't think they do that.
I going to have to file for a divorce, if they truly loved you and they're truly going to be doing the right thing, I'm going to take care of the divorce. I'm going to pay for the divorce.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not
mm-hmm.
your fault that we're getting divorced. You know, I'm so sorry. The least I can do is pay on my end for the legal work, right?
Oh, well, it doesn't happen, unfortunately. But
yeah,
I agree with you 100%. It should.
Right.
It should
happen.
Mm-hmm. It should.
Uh-huh.
Because
in a fair
we didn't
world,
want it.
It would happen.
I know. I couldn't agree with you
happen.
More.
It doesn't happen.
No.
I know.
It doesn't
it's
happen.
Very disheartening that after all these years, instead of anything getting better, it just seems to get worse.
Yeah. Well,
right?
It's like when people say, absolutely, and it's like when women say, oh, you know, oh, your husband had an affair, let's just say with a woman. Oh, my God, well, you're going to be sitting pretty. You're going to get, like, you know, you're going to get divorced and you're going to make a lot. It doesn't happen that way. Okay, and then there's this situation where your husband had an affair with a man. Okay, it doesn't matter. And you know, it's not all about the money, but you have to live somehow and you have to provide for your children and your family. And it would be like nice to know that there is something there. And the court system is not protecting. The court system is protecting them. It's not protecting us. It's protecting them.
Exactly. I used to have a woman who was part of our support network. My heart was so heavy for her. I'll tell you something. She had two children. Her husband left, and he was with his male partner. And the male partner didn't like the children, and he wasn't nice to them, and he was kind of abusive to them. And they didn't want to go there because of the abuse they had to put up with from him. And the father took her to court, said she was mentally unstable, she didn't know what she's talking about, and the courts believed him. And those poor kids had to go into that abusive situation.
Oh, my
God. It went on 3 years, and she was so torn apart. Some of these men are so unconscionable. You know, they don't care. You know, it's just pathetic.
They want the control. They want some control in their lives.
Yes, exactly.
And
they controlled you their whole lives, and now they're not with you. Right. They still want to control you.
So they're going to use the kids, and they're going to use anything else. It's terrible.
Exactly.
Terrible.
Well, one of the things we said we're going to discuss tonight, because now you said it's been a couple of years, right?
Right. 2 years.
And you're on the road to recovery. You're not totally there because you just can't be yet. You know, it takes a long time to get through everything. And as I said to you earlier, with these marriages, you know, even when they're over, when people say, oh, can't you get over it? You know, how long has it been?
Yeah.
3 years, 5 years, 10 years? You're not over it yet. You have to realize that a lot of our women aren't over it because the marriage isn't really over. Even if you're not living in the same house, even if you're divorced, even if you have a new man, even he has a new man, you still have to intermingle in certain things when you have children. So it's not like you're never going to see him again. When you have children who get married, who graduate high school, chances are you're going to be running into each other's path. So it's not like you can just, you know, when somebody dies, you can grieve it, you can mourn it, and then eventually move on from it. But that's because you don't have every day the reminders popping up in your head. But when you have to, you know, be divorced from a gay man and you're still entangled because of children, you still have issues you have to deal with him, right?
Yeah. Yes and no. And my situation's a little different because I decided to really cut all ties. And this pandemic has been kind of interesting. I mean, I have to almost laugh and think to myself, you know, thank God I found out when I did. And thank God I divorced him 2 years ago. And I moved across the country because, honestly, I don't think I'd want to be stuck in this situation with him. I'd rather be alone to any, you know, in any extent. But it does, you know, under this current situation and what's going on in our world today and with this virus, you know, you think about it and I think, you know, there's such uncertainty. And it's like you don't know when you're going to see your kids. You know, you don't know when you're going to see your parents. You don't know when you're going to see your friends. You don't know when you're going to get on an airplane again. And that combined with a, you know, very recent divorce and being married to a gay husband, it's a lot of emotion. But I've tried really hard to kind of, as I said, I'm not good at compartmentalizing. I wish I was better at it. But I think it's time that, you know, life is too short, and it's time to not dwell in the past, and it's time right now to really, you know, focus on my kids are my life, focus on them, focus on, you know, my family, and find things that I'm interested in, you know, I mean, things that I want to do, whether it's something simple, like doing a puzzle, you know, or, you know, reading a book, or, you know, starting a new hobby, or taking a class, or finding a new job. It's time, even though, as I said, under these circumstances, it's very difficult, I'm feeling the vigor and I'm feeling the strength to some extent, because in a way I'm looking at it, this is an opportunity, like, you know, to move forward, because things are so dismal and the world is in such a crisis, and not to be like totally philosophical about it, but I'm happy I found out when I did, because it's like, you know, as I said, it, and in my situation, it, I feel like it's ideal, because as I said, I'm totally removed, and quite honestly, I mean, I don't care if I ever have to see him again, and I'm lucky in that sense that I've been able to cut my ties entirely, and that's given me the strength, that's given me personally the strength I need to move on and to be the person that I need to be. And I think it's, you know, it's healthier for me and for my kids to some extent, you know.
I think another factor is that you already had a child who was older, right?
Yeah.
So it's not like, some women are really stuck because they have little children, you know, where
absolutely.
They are not able to make the only decision for the child, or the father has visitation rights. So there has to be interaction between them.
Right.
So when you can make a clean cut.
Yeah.
You were. And some women are.
I was very, very lucky, because my son was a junior in high school, so he was right around the age of, you know, 18. So I didn't have to have any sort of custody or visitation rights. And
exactly.
I really feel for those people, because that's a very hard situation to be in. And you have to remove yourself emotionally, and you have to, I mean, even now, I have to let my kids decide what they want to do. It's up to them. They're old enough. But when you're, you know, under those circumstances, and there's back and forth and visitation, and especially now with this pandemic and schooling and who's going to take care. I mean, the kids have to go to school, but now they're not going to go to school because of the virus. There's so many other issues that need to be figured out. And I feel for people, it's a tough, tough time on top of everything else to
Some of our women are really stuck alone as a single parent now with three or four or five children. And their husbands, you can barely find them. When you do, they don't want to spend more than an hour or two with the kids once a week or so.
Right.
And, you know, the kids aren't in school, and you're trying to keep them all occupied. And it's a very nerve-wracking time for people in general.
Right.
You know, so on top of that.
And you're worried. Like, you don't even know if these men are visiting, right? You don't know where they were, who they were with, and they're coming to visit their kids. They could be carrying the virus, on top of other things, they could be carrying the virus with them. You know,
absolutely. Anything is possible with that. So, you know, it is hard for some women, because sometimes it's just not a clean break. And, you know, I know with my ex-husband, you know, he had to be a controlling force in my life long after the marriage was over, you know, and it was just easier for me to give in sometimes because I had two kids and I didn't want them taking the brunt of his anger because of his anger with me. You know, it was never that easy of just clean break. When you have little children and you have to interact and you have to deal with them because they have that right to interact when they feel like it. You know, they can be daddy for the day when they feel like it, but then they want to make you think that they have the same equal share in this as you have, even though you're doing 95% of the work. And it was really strenuous for me for many years. Even though my marriage was over, it was never over until he died. That's when it was really over. But, you know, that was long after the fact of how long, you know, for a short-term marriage, we're only together maybe 5 years. And yet he was a big, took a lot of energy and time all those other years of never letting me free as a typical narcissist sociopath that unfortunately he was. So, you know, we have all those issues to deal with. And people don't even acknowledge us, Megan. That's why when they go in and they say no fault divorce, you know, when you've lived with these maniacs for years and had to put up with all of this abuse and nobody can even acknowledge you,
Exactly. And, you know, I mean, well, I mean, my ex knew this from the start. As I said, being a lawyer and a judge, he knew there was no fault. So he knew he could do whatever he want, and he knew he could hide whatever he needed to hide, you know. But it's like you said, you know, you mentioned earlier, you know, with your children, it's like, you know, when you're raising children, I mean, that's a whole other dimension that from an emotional standpoint. And the fact that, you know, you're getting berated for everything, and the anger that these men have towards us is a whole other component. I agree.
And, you know, once again, you go through all of this, and then only to be told you're in a no-fault divorce. He's not at fault.
Right.
Nobody's at fault. Wrong.
Right.
You are at fault.
Right.
And why can't we just
right.
call it what it is? And that's why, you know, I just get so disgusted because I feel we're on the, you know, other side of nowhere. The straight wives, instead of being them celebrated, that they lasted for all these years in an abusive marriage, let's celebrate
right.
the women who put up with all this crap and, you know, who didn't feel like they had to run away. They wanted to raise their families, try to keep peace in the home. So why aren't we celebrating
right.
them? I mean, they're the ones who need to be celebrated, not the gay man who's now leaving his family in dire
right.
need and after abusing the family
exactly.
for years. Right?
Right. Right, and I like the way what you said before about like how you wrote your last version of Straight Wives. I think you said it was around 10 years ago.
Ten years ago it came out.
It makes such a difference in the time frame because I'm thinking to myself like, you know, I was married like 20 years ago. So, and it was not acceptable. You don't just the whole gay thing didn't happen. And now, I'm so happy you're writing this now and to compare in the last 10 years
uh-huh.
what's happened and how times have changed. And, you know, as I said, I'm living out in California and there's a lot of gays, well, just like everywhere else, but you see the gay pride parade and everything else. It's like, it's all over. And it's, as I said, I don't have a problem with it. But what about us? What about people that are like, wow, like, what about, like, we're struggling? And now the time, as you said, like, you know, history has changed, and everything's changing as we know it. And I'm happy that this book is coming out now because I can see that, you know, it's not going to change the fact it's a no fault, but it's going to, you know, it's going to be interesting to see who's the victim, who's the hero here. And
mm-hmm.
unfortunately,
absolutely. In fact,
I don't think,
It's so funny because, you know, I have a new upcoming newsletter in August. And the topic
right.
is really theming around, you know, no-fault divorce. You know, that's what it's being written about. And once
mm-hmm.
again, you know, I know that I pushed for this, you know, a couple of years ago, that we as straight wives need to stand up and say somebody is at fault. You have to change the name of this to your fault
right.
divorce, because otherwise we're never going to be acknowledged for, you know, what we've been through. We're never going to get fair distribution when it comes to these marriages and divorces. You know, it's never going to be on our side for what we've suffered. And so we can't just ignore the fact that, you know, this is allowed to go on without at least trying. So I'm
yeah.
hoping maybe, you know, if you're not getting my newsletter, please write to me at bondk@AOL, and I'll certainly put you on the list. But we have to speak out. We have to start talking about it. We can't be pushed back into their closets and keep our mouth shut
mm-hmm.
and not let people know what we're going through, right?
I agree, but how do we push that through? How do things change? How does it happen?
Oh, you know? Well, that's something that's a call for another day. And you said you would come back again, right?
Yeah, I would love
You'll
to.
You'll be coming back on my fall show, is that correct?
Absolutely.
Yeah, see, I'm putting you on the spot without you even trying, right?
I would love to come back. I want to figure out the new
Well,
fall,
I'll be happy to have you when we start our new fall shows. I'll have you as one of our early guests because you always
thank
bring so
you.
Much insight into this conversation.
Oh.
And Megan,
thank you
so much for all of your support
you.
And your love and concern
Everybody.
And worry. And, love to all of you women out there. Just hang tough. You know, we're going to hang
Stay
in there
safe.
With you. We're going to look for solutions and Megan, I love
yeah.
you. Thank you for so much for coming on
Thank
and doing
you,
this
Bonnie.
Again.
Everybody stay safe. Oh. Stay positive.
Yeah.
Stay positive.
All right. We'll
okay.
have you back on here
Thank-
for some positive advice in the fall, okay?
I'm looking forward to it. Thank you,
All right.
Bonnie.
Same here. Good night,
Appreciate
everybody.
It.
Have a wonderful week. Bye-bye.
Thank you.